You can experience Mary's surprise, Mary's confusion, even some fear as she realizes the tomb is open and Jesus' body is gone, and she thinks, what has happened? She runs to the disciples to tell them. Peter and John come running back, and together they go back to the empty tomb. After a time, Mary is left alone outside the tomb. She's crying there. She's just distraught, right? What has happened? My Lord is gone. She bends over to look in once again, and now she's greeted by two angels. What's happening? They're sitting inside. They ask why she's crying, and Mary turns away. It's interesting. She doesn't actually answer the angels in John's account here, but she meets a man in the garden right behind her. Who is this? He asks why Mary is crying. Mary pours out her heart to this man, only to be stopped when he calls her name. He says, Mary. And then Mary knows Jesus is not dead. He is risen. And at Jesus' command, Mary returns to the disciples to tell them this joyful news. And this story, this Easter story, it defines us as Christians. Through Jesus' resurrection, we know that God has approved of Jesus, his teaching, his work, and his sacrifice. Through Jesus' resurrection, we know that we are truly forgiven and we are truly made new through Jesus' death on the cross. Through Jesus' resurrection, we know that he really can offer us new life, that he can give us eternal life because he himself beat death, right? We even get to see Mary become the first one to go and share the good news. There's even mission there as Mary goes and shares it with the disciples. Jesus is alive. But did you know that John tells us a little bit more about that first Easter Sunday? And this comes kind of at the end. It's something we sometimes kind of skip over. But John's gospel, which we're reading today, tells us that that evening, Jesus appears to the disciples as a group. And that's what we're focusing on today. On the evening of that first day of the week, this first Easter, remember, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So here on Easter evening, this first Easter evening, Jesus gives his disciples an Easter purpose. Here, Jesus sets his disciples apart for a special task. Here, Jesus is, you know, he's passing on the torch, we can say. Jesus' work here on earth has been accomplished, or nearly so. It's almost time for him to return to the Father in heaven. And now it's time for those disciples to step up. And you know, the fact that we are gathered here together on Sunday morning to celebrate Easter some 2,000 years after these events happened, well, that kind of tells us those disciples did step up. They did step up. And so today we're going to reflect on our Easter purpose. Just as these disciples have an Easter purpose, so do we. You know, we've just begun a message series here at Southwest on the idea of anointing, this topic of anointing, something we see in Scripture, something we hear Christians talking about sometimes. And so what is this? Well, last week we learned, well, two things. First, we learned that Jesus is God's anointed one. He's the one who's been sent to save. And then we also learned what that is. What makes an anointing? First, that something is applied to a person, whether that's oil or water or perfume, or here, the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples through Jesus' word. And the second thing that makes this an anointing is that these disciples are set apart for a purpose, a special task, a mission. And so here on the evening of that first Easter day, as the disciples discover that Jesus is alive, he anoints them. Jesus sets these disciples apart for a purpose. And you know, it's worth talking about purpose for a moment. Because one thing that we need in life is purpose. One thing we need in life as humans is purpose. You know, think about this for a moment. I'm sure that we all appreciate a day off. We tend to live really busy lives, and it's nice to be able to slow down and just rest. And in fact, more than appreciate a day off, we need a day off. But imagine that day off turns into 2 days doing nothing. Well, probably still okay. Maybe 3 or 4 days, it turns into nothing. That's okay if you've planned a vacation, right? But then imagine maybe a week or 2 weeks doing nothing. How's that starting to feel? Imagine a month or even longer. It's not sounding so good anymore, does it? Because We're made for purpose. Consider for a moment our young people, our little children, right? I can tell you, children, you know, we don't think of children as especially directed, as especially purposeful, right? Because they're kind of all over the place. But the truth is that when children play, even that totally free, undirected kind of playtime, the very first thing, or one of the first things they figure out is a purpose for their playtime, right? Little kids get purpose. And so they say, hey, we're going to play school and practice, you know, being in class. You're the teacher, I'm the student. Or they say, we're going to play cops and robbers. I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy. They say, we're going to play doctor. I'm the doctor, you're the patient. I can tell you my own kids. My son Ben, he's 4 years old, and his purpose in play is most often to build something bigger and more creative and better than the last thing he built with all his blocks or his Legos or whatever he's got out. My daughter's 2 years old. Their purpose in play is to be little mommies, right? They get their baby dolls, they give them diapers, they take care of them, they feed them, they rock them, they sing to them. It's a lot of fun. But there's purpose in that play. They're practicing these skills of life and practicing these things they see their parents doing. This desire for purpose starts early. Or think about maybe our lives at work. One of the things that's most important, that causes us to feel satisfaction in our lives of work, is a sense of purpose, right? That what we're doing is meaningful. And the one thing that we hate the most, even if we're getting paid to work, the kind of work we typically can't stand is meaningless work, right? Purposeless work. Even if they're trying to pay me to do it, doing make work, filling time, we can't stand it. You know, studies have even shown that Americans with a greater sense of purpose in life live longer. Americans with a greater sense of purpose in life get sick less, sleep better even. And even on a very physical level, this affects us somehow. A couple years ago, a study published, it found that people who are over age 50 and people who have who have goals and a sense of meaning in life, they even tend to walk faster than their peers who don't. They even have greater grip strength than those who don't. Even at a very basic physical level, this sense of purpose is important for us. The point is, we need purpose in life. And when we don't have a purpose in life, we suffer. You know, do you ever feel just blah? Blah. You've been there. That's a lack of purpose. No purpose means no motivation, which means no reason to get up, no reason to move, no reason to get off that couch, no reason to get out of bed. Or maybe, you know, having no purpose doesn't necessarily mean doing nothing. It can also mean trying everything. It can also look like searching, always trying new things, going new places, seeking new experiences. Whether those experiences are healthy for you or not, whether or not they're good for you, and then never really ever being satisfied with the things you do, the things you try, because the things that you're trying can't give you purpose. I should say real quick, too, there's other problems, other issues that can cause these experiences. If you feel blah, that could be something physical, that could be something medical, something psychological. Same deal if you're restless, right? And so if you feel like you do need, or you might need, medical or psychological help, it's good to get help for those things. And if you're not sure, actually, I can help you figure that out. But purpose is something we got to think about, because purpose goes to the very center of our being. And having a purpose in life is a spiritual thing, because it actually fulfills a spiritual need that we have, a need that we have to have meaning in life. And when we don't have purpose, we're in bad shape. But in John chapter 20 and verse 19, in our reading for today, as he appears to his disciples that first Easter evening, Jesus gives his disciples an Easter purpose. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so here Jesus sets his disciples apart for a special task, a special purpose. As the Father has sent me, he says, I am sending you. And the disciples who are standing there or sitting around him, they know what this means. They know what it means that Jesus has been sent from the Father. They know what it looks like, and they know what Jesus is giving them the job to do, because they've been following Jesus around. Because they've been listening to Jesus teach, because they've been watching Jesus heal and care for those who are sick, those who are weak, those who are ill, those who are demon-possessed. They have been following Jesus, and they've been with him as Jesus has gone to the outcasts, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the lepers, and the people whom nobody else would approach. And they have seen Jesus love these people as nobody else would. So the disciples know what Jesus is telling them here. They know that as he has come to them and he has given them grace, they have the same job. The disciples know what it looked like when the Father in heaven sent his Son to earth. And through Jesus, because of Jesus, this is important, each of those disciples has a story. Each of those disciples has a story of God's love for the unlovable. Or maybe they've got a story of God's grace for the beaten down. Or maybe each of those disciples had a story of God's forgiveness for the guilty. Or they've got a story of God's healing for the weak. And the disciples have these stories because the disciples were those people. The disciples were the unloved and the beaten down and the guilty and the sick and the weak until Jesus was sent from the Father to love them, to heal them, to give grace to them, and to forgive them. And let me tell you, we're those people too. You have the same love of God, the same healing. You have the same grace, the same forgiveness that those first disciples had. On Friday afternoon, Jesus died for you too, and on Sunday morning, he rose for you as well. He is risen. And you've got an Easter purpose too. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, now I am sending you, and those words are for us too. Jesus intends that all who know him, all who follow him, would now go to share the same love, the same grace, the same healing, the same forgiveness that he showed us. And the good news is we don't have to rely on our own strength to do these things. It's not all about us here, and that is good news. Because Jesus says next, a couple verses later, with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So here's the other part that makes this an anointing, by the way, like I mentioned earlier. First, the disciples were set apart for this new Easter purpose that Jesus is giving to them. And the second part is here, something is applied. And what's applied here is nothing physical. It's not oil, not perfume, like many of the kind of physical anointings we see in Scripture. Here, the Holy Spirit is given. Jesus breathes on his disciples and gives them the Holy Spirit. And this is the same Holy Spirit, by the way, that you and I receive through baptism, through God's word working in us. And when they receive the Holy Spirit, then Jesus' disciples are given the power to do the task that he has just given them to do. They're given the power to do the thing that Jesus has just set them apart to do. Because Jesus says, hey, if you forgive anyone's sins now, their sins are forgiven. Now those disciples have the same power and authority to give God's grace to the people who need it, just as much as Jesus himself did. Now those disciples have the same power and authority to share and to declare God's love for those who need to hear God's love. Now the disciples have the same power and authority to forgive those people who are guilty, those people who are struggling with sin. They have the same power and authority to make people right with their God. They have the same power and authority to remove that separation between saint and sinner so that we can live together with our God and with our neighbors as God made us to do. That's our Easter purpose. That's our Easter purpose, to share the good news that he is risen. And that's our Easter power, the Holy Spirit in us, to live in God's grace, forgiveness, and love, and to share these things with others. So know today that you are called to be a person of peace in your community, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your place of work. Today you are called to embody the same life that Jesus lived among us. You are called to embody love and grace and forgiveness and service, and these are all things that lead us to real life. And we do this for everyone, you know? This afternoon, as you go to your family gatherings, probably most of us are doing something like that, be a person of peace. When that relative, you know who they are, brings up the family drama that you don't want to talk about, or the old hurt that you wish we'd just get past, or they bring up politics, right? We know we've got enough to think about and talk about with politics today. Be a person of peace. Give that person grace. At your place of work this week, as we all go back to work tomorrow or the next day or whenever, be a person of peace. Be kind and compassionate when someone messes up. right? Forgive and work together rather than blame and tear down. With your families and your friends, this work, be a person of peace. Give yourself fully to those around you. Value your time with your spouse, with your friends, with your children. Be faithful to that spouse with your heart, your mind, your eyes. Go out of your way to let your friends know that they are loved. In your neighborhood, in your community, be a person of peace. Heal those disputes between neighbors rather than being the one starting them. When you disagree with someone, come together in grace and respect and find a way forward together. Serve those people who can't give you anything in return. You know, this is our Easter purpose, and this is our Easter power, to live in the power of God's grace, to share that in Jesus' name. And let me say, too, you know, this way of living, it sounds really good to all of us. I'm sure it does. I can't imagine why this would sound bad, but the truth is, it's harder than it looks to live this way. It's harder than it looks. You know, that first Easter evening, the disciples didn't all go home. They didn't all split up. They didn't all say, all right, hey guys, let's do our best on this. See you next Easter to check in. That's not what they did. They got together. Those disciples stuck together as a community. They met regularly. They shared God's word with one another. They celebrated the Lord's Supper together because this is what Jesus had taught them. And because they needed one another's help. They needed one another's strength. Because none of them could change their own lives on their own. They needed help there. None of them could live out this anointing on their own. So hey, if you don't have a regular connection with church family, I'm inviting you to have that. And if that's here, that's great. If that's someplace else, that's great too. I can help you find a church wherever it's at, I'll say. And that connection is so important. Because even though Easter defines our lives of faith, and indeed, we wouldn't have anything without Easter. Our lives of faith are more than Easter. And we need that community to be reminded of Jesus, to receive his gifts, to support one another in living out our Easter purpose. And so let me close by saying this. Each of those disciples had a story. They had a story of God's love, or his grace, or his healing, or his forgiveness, because Jesus came into their lives. And I can say this too. Each one of us here, you have a story of God's love or grace or healing or forgiveness because of someone in your life, because these disciples took Jesus' command seriously, because they passed this thing on and now it has come to you today. And so I don't know who that is for you. It could be a parent. It could be a grandparent. It could be an aunt or an uncle or a friend or a coworker or a neighbor or someone else. But someone at some time lived out that Easter purpose and power in your life. Someone was a person of peace to you. And so my question to you is, whose life might you change if you lived out your Easter purpose and power today? Because Jesus' anointing is on you too. We live as people of peace because he is risen. Amen. Hey, let's stand.